Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
Attorney, radio, talk show host, Fox News contributor Ebony Williams.
On this side of the law.
Both sides have extremists.
On that side of the law.
To the millions, I feel this is problematic.
Turn it up!
Every story in the city matters. Every moment of the day matters. Every conversation matters. Curtis and Ebony. Curtis Sliwa.
Now putting aside the politics.
And Ebony K. Williams.
They don't make band-aids for hurt feelings.
The stories. The moments. The conversation.
I fought the law and the law won.
The new midday show. 77 WABC.
As we broadcast to all of you from Hyattop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us to conduct this broadcast by NJDiet.com, and no better time than the Mac Daddy be returning here to the seat that normally is occupied by Ebony K. Kayfer Kardashian Williams. She's away today, and I'm not quite sure her schedule the rest of the week. I know she's on her book tour around the United States. I believe that she is out today, and she will be out Friday as she is popping her book out there. And as a result, we have benefited because on this day of news about local politicians, let's face it, Ebony K. Williams is not as up on it as I am, who've lived in this city, but I'm not as up on it as Dominic Carter, who has busted his shoes for years, first as a street reporter for radio station WLIB, sister station of WBLS at the time. That's when I first met you out in the street. You were tracking down stories, and then you were the face and you were the sound of New York One since its inception. And now you can actually watch, if you have Fios One on RN, Dominic Carter every Monday through Friday from 6 to 7 as he does his commentary and his news updates. And so, first off, before we go to Dean the Greek Skelos, the crook of all crooks, getting a new life as a result of a decision made in court, this is the late-breaking news. I am upset with Anthony the Perv Wiener. Very upset. And we're going to get into it later. Has nothing to do with the fact that you don't want him hanging around little girls. He bogarted me off of every news story. Remember, I was in court yesterday. He was in court simultaneously. So where did most of the journalists and the paparazzi and your friends of the Fourth Estate go? They covered the Anthony the Wiener Wiener story.
So why were you in court yesterday?
Well, remember, I had served papers on Comrade Bill de Blasio in late July as the New York State Reform Party chairman. And I noticed that Justin B. Love hasn't even posted anything on Ebony and Curtis. You deadbeat. You know, anything for Ebony, but nothing for Curtis Sliwa here,
but
right?
Curtis,
this is my day in the sun. My day in criminal court. I was vindicated.
Curtis, what is wrong with you? You do realize approaching the mayor of New York, you could have ended up shot by the NYPD.
Hold on one second. Anything for Ebony. Ebony Kardashian Williams, she wants this posted. Oh, Ebony gets it, right? Oh, she's the princess here at WABC. Ebony has a book. Well, we got to promote the book. I get freaking arrested. I could have done 30 days on the rock.
You could have been shot.
I beat the rap, right? And I don't even get a post on the Ebony and Curtis Facebook page.
But Curtis.
What am I, a person of no consequence here at WABC?
Curtis, what is wrong with you? What makes you think as the mayor is leaving Gracie Mansion with his entire police detail that comes with any mayor that you could stand in front of the vehicle to serve papers on the mayor of New York? What makes you think that you could get away with that?
Like that Chinese student in the late 80s in Tiananmen Square, remember, stood in front of that red Chinese T2 tank, got squashed, right? I was prepared to get squashed and become like a pothole in front of Gracie Mansion. But the point was, as Reform Party chairman in New York State, I was ordered by the court to serve the mayor with papers because we were suing him. He was trying to knock our party off the mayoral line.
You do realize there are other ways, more appropriate ways to go about
that. But the judge ordered that it had to be personally served. I would have preferred just going to corporation counsel and giving one of the attorneys in the city of New York the papers.
Time out.
Yes.
Armed police officers in plain clothes.
Yeah, but they're soft.
Okay, but they're standing there with the mayor.
Yeah, but they're soft.
You're making a quick move.
Yep.
in terms of they don't know what you're reaching for, and you're standing right or close to the mayor's vehicle.
I told him I would dive onto the SUV. You know how a fly hits your windshield?
Now,
and
you know what? You know what?
What?
Normally, most of us would say, it's just talk. With you, it's real.
I was going to do it. I was going to dive right onto the SUV, prevent that SUV from going anywhere, you know, hold on to it for dear life, like it's some kind of an action movie, right? And dare them, go ahead, put the pedal to the metal. Go ahead, see if you can shake me off the windshield. But anyway, they grab me.
But no matter who the mayor, Curtis, you're my man. I want you to understand this. No matter who the mayor is, they have an obligation, meaning the NYPD, the intelligence division, to remove every possible threat and to protect. It could have been your boy Rudy Giuliani. Their job is to protect the mayor of New York. You could have been shot on the spot.
You know something? They were angry at me because when I arrived at 7:45 in the morning outside of Gracie Mansion, the mayor was sleeping. He wasn't even up yet.
What is wrong with you?
This guy doesn't get up like normal people get up.
How old are you?
I'm 63.
63, and you think this is some sitcom TV show where you could jump on the mayor's vehicle?
Why not? It's the mayor, right? Isn't he the servant of the people? Isn't he living in our house, Gracie Mansion? Don't I have some dibs? I pay taxes. You pay taxes. Oh, a lot of people listening out there pay taxes.
So, Curtis, so we're online right now, right,
yes.
Folks? So folks can see me.
No.
We're not.
No.
That's good.
No.
So they can't see me holding my head
and
lowering my head
right now.
They can't
see you because you're too dark. You're too into
watch
silhouette.
That.
You
watch
see,
that.
If your complexion is not your protection in these lights.
Wait. I'm dark? I mean, I thought my complexion is...
It's melanin, man.
Yeah, but it's not dark. I'm not dark skinned.
Man, you're dark.
Really?
Yeah. You could use a little bleach, a little Sammy Sosa action, a little Michael Jackson action. But anyway, away from that, because I'm so upset. I'm so upset. Justin B. Love. Oh, yeah, I'll get around to it. Maybe by the end of the week, I'll post the information that Sliwa was vindicated as I went into court. The judge said, oh, okay, you're going to cop a plea? He said, no way, we're not copping a plea. And so he goes, go to the back of the line there. Come to me in an hour. See if you've come up with any other decision. And my legal beagle is Sal Albanese, who's running for mayor on the Reform Party line against de Blasio, Nicole Maliotakis, and Bo Dito. And so when we came back up, said, no plea deal. He said, okay, how about time served for the 3 hours that you were in the jail cell when they gave you an ass sandwich and unsweetened Kool-Aid? I said, deal. No problem. And so I was vindicated. I walk outside. And where's all the press corps? They're up the block waiting for Anthony to one.
That's
what
not
a cry,
nice.
Baby.
That's not nice.
What a sucker.
That's not nice. We've both known
you know he's
going
to be somebody's Maytag. If they send him to a hardcore federal prison instead of, you know, some camp fed, he's going to be somebody's Maytag.
But remember, this is not a joke. I've known Anthony 25, 30 years, so have you. The man is sick. He's a good person.
I'll tell you, most politicians are sick.
Most politicians are very sick.
They are,
but they're very
egomaniacal.
Good, but they are very good at hiding it.
Yes.
Most politicians, there's no other way to say this. Many politicians, I wouldn't want to walk my dog,
no.
Dolce.
No. First
because
off,
Dolce is my man.
As you know, and I know, they're neurotic. All of them are neurotic. They have these neuroses like you can't believe.
But they're good at hiding it.
They're insecure.
In terms of Spitzer, and his came out.
Right. So we think that they're all like Bill Clinton,
no,
you know.
No.
They
extremely
are very
insecure.
Very insecure and very insular. Anyway, we'll get to Anthony the Perv Wiener momentarily and your reflections on his life and times. But explain to me what this decision was to release this crook and his deadbeat, no-show job son, Adam.
Okay, for those of us
crooks
that are just joining us here on WABC, a federal appeals court has ruled just a few minutes ago, literally, Silver's conviction that was overturned. Well, guess what? Now Dean Skelos, the majority leader of the New York State Senate, his conviction has been overturned by the appeals court, as well as his son, Adam. Now, you know, Curtis, I sat in each courtroom every day covering these trials.
Yeah.
Went back and forth, literally, from one federal courthouse in Lower Manhattan to the other. Dean Skelos, I almost felt bad for him.
What?
Wait, let me finish. In terms of, why didn't you take a plea? Why are you embarrassed? Now, maybe the feds didn't offer him anything. Why are you embarrassing yourself and your son like this? You know there are issues with your son. I don't want to categorize it. But
he was getting his son no-show jobs.
Right.
That's a crime.
So wait. Listen now. I sat there. Adam Skello said on one of the wiretaps, he said the feds are probably listening. And guess what?
They were laughing.
They were listening, and they prayed. They played that wiretap in court. So on wiretap, you have Adam Skelos. Dean Skelos mainly was looking out for his son, and based on the feds, crossed the line in terms of looking for opportunities for his son. His son, adoptive, there are issues with his son growing up, Adam and so on. And Adam Skelos is seen almost bullying a pizza owner on the phone, demanding money. There are several no-show jobs. There are numerous wiretaps, and now, courtesy of the federal appeals court in the McDonald's case, I am telling you, I literally just left the Menendez case this morning. As soon as we are off the air, I'm headed right back there. That's gone. You can kiss that up and smoke that, because it's circumstantial evidence to begin with. They don't have anything big on Menendez. And so even if the jury comes back and says conviction, a year from then, a federal appeals court is going to overturn it.
This is crazy.
It is crazy.
First off, the United States Supreme Court in that case involving the former governor of the state of Virginia.
Yes, Bob McDonald.
Said it was okay for him to be accepting gratuities, gifts.
Watches.
Right.
So
the
on.
Whole nine yards.
Right.
Which is corruption.
Well, wait, no. That's not corruption. That's not corruption.
How is that not corruption?
Here's how it's not. It's not based on how you and I see corruption. Okay, I'm telling you, this is somebody that's covered this. It's based on, in return for the gifts, do you perform an official action? Now, Curtis, you and I are both from the streets. Do you think any politician in America is stupid enough to put it in writing that they got a deal?
Of course not.
Of course not. So the feds are in trouble. Unless the Supreme Court changes, you're not going to get a conviction.
Well, the United States Supreme Court exonerated the corrupt governor of Virginia 7-0. The Democrats sided with the Republicans. The conservatives sided with the liberals because they're all Ivy League graduates. They have no idea what goes on internally in politics because most of them have never really been involved in local politics. And they see the whining, dining, and pocket lining and the thievery that goes on a regular basis.
There is no doubt about it.
So you had nobody in that group of 7 U.S. Supreme Court justices to be able to tell them, no, this is corruption. Are you kidding? All these gifts, all these gratuities. What do you think? They're just giving it to the guy because they like the governor?
Well, think about this. If you can't get a conviction with the Skelos case, you're not going to get one. This guy, the son, is on federal wiretaps telling people, I'm not showing up and you're going to pay
me. Yeah, literally, no show job.
Literally talking about this.
This is what the mob does. This is what organized crime does.
Because in the world of corruption, you and I know the deals are cut, but you never talk about this on the phone.
So based on this decision, how is Skelos and his tribe any different than what the Gottis were doing, getting no-show jobs for members of the Gambino crime family? How is it any different? It's exactly the same.
Well,
and yet the court looks at the politician and says, oh, no, that's okay. That's playing by the rules.
But
organized crime, you're going to jail for that. They should be both be going to
Curtis,
jail.
But, think about this. Politicians are watching this. Right? They're watching this.
Yeah.
So what do you think is going to happen immediately
in the
future?
More no-show jobs. More no-show jobs. Hey, my kid is a dullard. My kid doesn't want to work a normal job. Okay, I'm going to get him a no-show job. It's a quid pro quo. You scratch my belly, I scratch
yours. And that's the other term. You've got to be able to prove. But I mean prove in some official act. So in other words, if I'm the elected official, based on the Supreme Court ruling, based on these cases, Silver, Bruno's was overturned as well, but Skelos. So you can give me gifts, even though that violates my ethics as a local elected official. But in order to send me to prison, you have got to prove in some official capacity that I acted on your behalf. Well, and that is almost impossible to
prove. We'll get into all of these next. Our number's 1-800-848-WABC. Ebony Kardashian Williams out today. She'll be back tomorrow. And that means the Mac Daddy is in the house, Dominic Carter. 1-800-848-WABC.
Curtis and Ebony. The stories, the moments. The new midday show.
Up on the line, law one.
77 WABC and the WABC radio app.
Ah, no call to the races. Oh, man, you guys have already pissed me off. No post. of my vindication yesterday on, I guess we'll call it the Ebony Facebook page. And no call to the races. They come in with this generic deadbeat song that I don't ever want to hear again. Get rid of that from your mixture there.
My suggestion, stop messing.
Go behind this bulletproof glass and pimp slap the both of you.
Stop messing with the mayor.
No, forget the mayor for a second. I'm going to tell you a
story. And when you're not messing with the mayor, you're messing with the governor.
I'm going to explain to you a story of how deep-rooted corruption is in New York State, which has surpassed New Jersey. The Soprano State is the most corrupt in America. You remember the Republican Senate Majority Leader Joe Bruno?
Yes. Wow.
With the horse teeth. Remember, he
was a boxer. Very dapper.
Right. But he had those huge veneers. And he had a booth at Saratoga because he was a true horseman. He had quite a few horses in his stable. So in order for lobbyists to gin him up with money, they would show up to want to buy his old nags that were ready for the glue factory because he had a number of horses that just were not ready for prime time. You couldn't even get them in a race, you know, in which you wanted to sell them. So the lobbyists would say, Joe, what a beautiful thoroughbred. I want to pay you like $150,000 for this nag. I mean, for this thoroughbred. Anybody else look and say, I wouldn't pay $25 for this Elmer glue bound for the factory horse that can barely stand up. So they would shovel money to him, and he would sell them his nags. And then, naturally, they would dispose of those horses because they weren't ready for prime time. They wouldn't put them out to pasture. Who knows what Elmer's glue factory they ended up with. And he was exonerated of that. That was clear bribery.
Not only was Mr. Bruno exonerated, he turned around, and some will argue, rightfully so, sued the state for his $2 million in legal fees, and the state had to reimburse him for his legal fees.
Give me another example. Remember the corrupt Governor Rowland of Connecticut?
Yes.
It would be poker night, Tuesday nights at the governor's mansion, and all the lobbyists would come over, and they'd say, Rowland was the worst poker player in the world, but we would purposefully lose to him and keep shoveling thousands of dollars to him. Now, does that eventually mean his indictment and conviction for corruption will be overturned because he had no idea that they were sweetening him up by purposefully losing to him in those Tuesday night lobbyist poker games at the governor's mansion in Connecticut in Hartford?
Well, it happens with a lot of politicians, and I want to be bipartisan here. Remember, the current occupant of the White House, President Trump, it's been noted that he sold one of his homes in Florida for like five times the value
to an oligarch
of the home. And the same thing happened with Obama right before he took office,
in which
he got a sweetheart deal for a mortgage. And Obama was lucky because the feds looked the other way, and he just said it was a, quote, boneheaded move.
A friend
and then moved on.
Of Rahm Emanuel,
right,
who became his chief of staff, the former congressman, hooked him up with the mortgage broker who gave him, as you said, a sweetheart deal.
And the feds just said, oh, okay, you made a mistake, and looked the other way.
Let's quickly go to Bobby in Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Bobby?
Hey, Curtis, Dominic, you guys are the best. You know, Curtis and Dominic, we need an investigation into these judges. As you know, the political process, these judges, before they become judges, are all over the political parties, all over these politicians, all over the lobbyists. So they owe favors to these people. And when these cases come up like this, in the inside, there's already a deal. We need an investigation into these judges. Get them off the bench. I'm telling you, Curtis.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
Bobby, particularly in our city where the chiefs of the crooked Democratic County machine. So you look at Joe Crowley, you look at Frank Setio in Brooklyn, and then you look at Carl Hastie in the Bronx. They pick the judges who end up making the decisions. It's not about merit. It's not about are they qualified. It's about whether they kicked into the local county Democratic Party machine and bought tables at the local county dinner. Has nothing at all to do with their jurisprudence, their ability to understand the law and make fair decisions, or eventually be involved in an appeals decision that would have to rule on another judge.
This is exactly why. It will sound corny, but this is exactly why I tell people to vote. You have to come out and vote, or the system is never going to change. Because the caller just made a very valid point, replace the judges. But when it comes to the Supreme Court, as we all know, that's a lifetime appointment.
But
they're
not
going anywhere.
The problem is that a lot of these local judicial races that are up for election, It's one judge who gets every line, and then you have no choice. That's why I have the Reform Party now, because we are running our own separate candidates to finally give people choice. Anyway, on that note, up next, we're going to be talking about the perv of all pervs, Anthony the Wiener Wiener. But let's get some news headlines and updates from Ken Duffy.
New for your midday.
Ebony Williams is here.
Curtis and Ebony. Exclusively.
Bring the noise!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Sitting on the park bench. I little girls with bad intent.
Snots running down. 12:38. No Ebony K. Williams today. She'll be back with us tomorrow and in the house. Mac Daddy of all Mac Daddies, Dominic Carter.
I'm reading about you right now in the New York Post, in which according to your attorney, Sal Albanese, a good man, a candidate for mayor, who lost the Democratic primary, they are saying that your lawyer said that the mayor's wife actually waved to you, and she was more courteous than the mayor was.
Yeah, the mayor had me locked up. She was waving to me as they were putting the silver bracelets on.
Messing with the mayor.
Oh, no.
Man, you're 63 years old.
Yes.
You can't keep walking around giving the governor and the mayor a hard time.
Why
you can't
not?
Do it.
Andrew Evilize Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Bruta, Cuomo, King Cuomo I, and
why
comrade Bill de Blasio.
Why did I get you started?
Well, you did, because yesterday, Anthony the Wiener Wiener, the perv of all pervs, bogarted me at my court appearance, because we only half a block away. I was in criminal court, he was in federal court, and all of your journalistic friends, including a lot of people here at WABC, were outside of that courtroom instead of my courtroom. Although Bob Brown was there.
So let me make sure I got this right. So yes. they should have been my colleagues of the Fourth Estate should have been at your situation and ignored Mr. Wiener.
Yeah, they could have done split duty. It took him a lot of time because, remember, he was crying like a baby.
Mm.
Anthony the Wiener Wiener, you know, he broke down in his mother's lap. You would think that the guy was getting 50 years without parole. He's 21 months. He asked the federal judge, can you send me to Schuylkill, which is right near Philadelphia in Pennsylvania, which is a soft camp fed instead of a tough federal prison where he'd be somebody's Maytag, especially after that crying routine. But let's get into Anthony Wiener, the person, because you covered him for years, and he was very accessible to the media. What did you learn from those times?
Well, let's start with the fact that he was, in terms of politics, solely politics, and a rising career, he was a mini Chuck Schumer. He has been a mini Chuck Schumer all his career. Started with the city council, moved on to Congress, was a heartbeat away, or at least certainly was leading in the polls when he had a second chance of winning the Democratic nomination to become mayor of New York City. Anthony Wiener, that I know, I'm talking about a personal level now. On a personal level, he made a tremendous mistake. The feds don't play, several times, the feds don't play when it comes to this underage girl stuff. The man has a problem. But Anthony Wiener, the person I'm talking about, he's one of the nicest guys in the world of politics. What I find interesting about Mr. Wiener, and don't make that face that you're making, that what I find interesting about Mr. Wiener, many politicians off the records, males, they will talk to me about women in terms of, hey, look at her. Doesn't she look good? Ooh, you know, Wiener never had a conversation with me like that in 25 years. He would always talk substance, hockey, or ask how I'm doing. And so I don't see his demise funny. Having a daughter, I don't find it funny either, what he did. And so hopefully he'll get the help that he needs and can move on with his life.
Now, so many politicians, when they're dealing with guys and gals like yourself from the Fourth Estate, journalists or paparazzi, they have a conversation that's on the record. They have one that's off the record. I don't believe in off-the-record conversations. But was he one to go that route? Or was he pretty much straight up, what he said is what he meant, and he wanted you, if you were going to use it, to carry it?
Well, let me put it to you this way. He was always a straight guy, straight shooter. And so all of these guys in the business that's successful, and I define success by a rising career in the world of politics. That's the sole definition right now. You could label that to Sharpton, whether you like him or you hate him. A successful career. Did you ever think you would read about Sharpton getting an award in Ireland as he was yesterday? Did you ever think you would see that?
No.
Okay.
Because he couldn't be more pejorative towards Irish cops.
Okay. So those that are successful, they have certain characteristics. And so Weiner, for example, an interview that I did with him, I thought it was just going to be a simple question. It's one that an interview we did with him that started all of this that went all over the world. So I thought as he was leading in the polls for mayor that I would sit down opposite him. I had two producers in the room working with me. And I thought, and the cameraman, and I thought I'm going to ask this question, basically a formality. Have you been involved with any more women? And of course, I thought the answer would be no. I almost fell off my chair. When on camera, he stood there and said, yes, I've communicated with other women. And when he said it, I was like, Anthony, oh, no. And why do this with me? Because you just ended your career right now. Mm. And that was the beginning of the end.
But he must have known that there were other journalists who were already on to that, particularly the New York Post that took great delight in constantly trying to entrap him, and rightfully so, because he would make an outrageous statement like, I'm not a sex addict, I don't need therapy.
Well, he knew when we did this interview, he knew he had made a mistake, and this is a private conversation that perhaps I shouldn't reveal, but I will. So as soon as the cameras went off, he said, you know, Dominic, you're a surgeon. You're a surgeon when it comes to interviewing people. Why would I sit down and do this interview? And within 30 minutes, it had went worldwide.
Mm.
And it was the beginning of the end. And as a matter of fact, in the documentary about his life, he even says, I just fessed up to Dominic. Mm. So of those of you that have seen the documentary about Mr. Weiner, so I really feel bad for him. Now, one would say, okay, well, you feel that bad because that's your buddy. But what if it was a regular guy? Anybody that does what he's fessed up to, you know, the prison time is warranted.
Well, you know, it's interesting. There are two types of politicians. You mentioned his mentor, the schmuck, no make that the putz, Chuckie Cheese Schumer. As a human being, people hate this guy. He's despicable. But what he provides is information. He gives grease to the wheel. He is like J. Edgar Hoover. He's got like a dossier on everybody. So for reporters, he's great. Because he'll trade information. And it's like, I give you information, you end up helping me in whatever my cause is of the moment, which every day is a new cause for Chuck Schumer. He's like lens lights. Was Anthony a prescriber of that theory that you got to give in order to get information? Because remember,
yes,
there were many allegations, and I know of some personally, in which he sullied the reputation of others wrongly. As he was involved in a city council race, first in Brooklyn, alleged racism when there wasn't. I remember in his race against Melinda Katz when he was running for the congressional seat, and it was a neck-and-neck race because she had Queens, he had Brooklyn, and it was the old Chuck Schumer seat as he went on to become U.S. Senator after he beat Alphonse Ali Boy D'Amato. And he planted information out there that was clearly untrue. And he would always apologize afterwards after it was found, but he struck me as just like Chuck. Plant the information, and then you benefit because those reporters now had a story that nobody else had, and they would do a quid pro quo for you.
Absolutely. You are 1,000% correct as to the way it goes. So, for example, if Weiner or someone like him, like a Schumer, happens to call, you better believe I'm going to pick up the phone because they're about to drop some dirt that I can use.
Now, let me describe to you not the year that everyone's focused on when he came back unexpectedly to run for mayor in 2013.
And was winning in the polls.
Yes. 2009, Bloomberg had stolen an additional 4 years. The man who was for term limits suddenly was against term limits because he wanted to serve another 4 years, so he bribed members of the city council. Total bribery. And for that, I will never forgive him. Weiner took him on, remember?
But wait a minute. It's not legal if his lawyers are doing... It's not illegal if his lawyers are doing it in a legal way, and that's what Bloomberg
it's
did.
It's corrupt. It's totally corrupt. Well, he was bribing the city council members, and
Republican county leaders.
Correct.
And so on.
So here was Weiner standing up to him,
mm-hmm.
and I applauded him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was well ahead in the Democratic polls. His only challenger, Billy Thompson.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, there was that photo you mentioned, hockey, where he was playing goalie right there on the
23rd Street, West Chelsea side. Market.
Right. And that went viral because he was supposed to be in the House that day for a vote. Do you know who the PR director was for Bloomberg at that time? Hired from Chuck Schumer, the Darth Vader of digging up dirt. Stu Lozier. Stu Lozier, who was trained by Chuck Schumer. They planted that picture and story, and then Anthony Weiner fell off the radar screen for a month. You didn't hear anything about him. I believe that Stu Lozier approached him because he knew him, because he, too, was mentored by Chuck Schumer, and said, if you enter the race, this is what we got. Here's a dossier. And then all of a sudden, ahead in the polls, he would have beaten Bloomberg because people were so upset that he bribed his way for another 4 years.
But remember, folks didn't know that Billy Thompson would do as well as he did against Bloomberg. But, so everybody was afraid of Bloomberg's money.
I know, but Billy Thompson was no match as a campaigner for Anthony Weiner. Anthony would have taken it right to Bloomberg.
That's true.
And Anthony was raising money and then stopped. I don't think it had anything to do with the money. I believe in every last ember of my soul that they used Stu Lozier, trained by Chuck Schumer, the mentor to both of them, to show him the dossier and said, it would do you wise not to run this time.
Let me put it this way. And he was a victim, that is Weiner, of timing. The same way Chris Christie was in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. That if he had run 4 years earlier, he might have been the Democratic nominee. Same exact thing happened to Weiner if he would have challenged Bloomberg with all of Bloomberg's money. I just recently discovered, I guess I'm a late bloomer, whatever. I just recently discovered House of Cards
on Netflix.
And the best way I can describe it for the WABC family, real politics is, and I've been watching now about 25, 30 episodes, it's almost identical to House of Cards.
You want
to know? From the politicians to the reporters.
Yep.
And I'm being honest right now. Yep. That will step over their mother for a good story.
Absolutely.
Okay? So it's almost just like House of Cards.
1-800-848-WABC, and that's why it needs a badly needed colonic to clean up the political system.
Wait. You know I'm not letting that go. Have you ever had a colonic?
Yes. Many.
Ew.
Yeah, you could use one.
Thanks a lot.
Well, you just described the corrupt nature of the work you're involved in. You need a political colonic. 1-800-848-WABC.
Imus in the Morning.
So far, so good.
And Curtis and Ebony.
You've got good gangs and bad gangs.
I'm going to give it to them.
On air, online, on the app.
This is really good, isn't it?
77 WABC.
Ebony K. Williams with us tomorrow. Instead, we got the Mac Daddy Dominic Carter in the house today. Let's go to Mindy in Terrytown. Welcome to WABC, Mindy.
Thanks for taking my calls, guys. Dominic, it's always good to hear your voice.
Thank you, Mindy. That's very nice of you to say.
I am so, disappointed that Anthony Weiner is not at Rikers Island being someone's bitch every night. I am so disappointed.
Well, they would have had him in Punk City protective custody, I guarantee you. He would have been completely protected from the general population.
Yes and no. I worked at North Infirmary Command at Rikers as a school social worker. Mm. Going up and down the elevator, he would have gotten something.
Mm.
But anyway, guys, love your show, and I'm sickened over Weiner, but I'm so glad he's going to jail.
Curtis, the one thing I do want to say, I understand people are angry at Mr. Weiner, but in a time like this, I think about his mother. Now, she's a retired educator. She was in the courtroom yesterday. I want you to think about this for a second. Her son was a heartbeat away from being elected mayor of New York City.
Yeah.
So imagine the gratification as a mother. How she felt about her son, and then she sat in the courtroom as he was being sentenced to 21 months.
Yeah, and then
why are you making that face?
She's handling it well, and he's breaking down crying like a little baby, a little Mama Luke, and then burying his head in his mother's bosom. He's 50 years old, Dominic. Come on, grow up, pal. There are consequences for your actions. Remember, he wouldn't give an inch to somebody if they had crossed the line. Just remember that.
Bring the noise!
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
Attorney, radio, talk show host, Fox News contributor Ebony Williams.
On this side of the law.
Both sides have extremists.
On that side of the law.
To the millions, I feel this is problematic.
Turn it up!
Every story in the city matters. Every moment of the day matters. Every conversation matters. Curtis and Ebony. Curtis Sliwa.
Now putting aside the politics.
And Ebony K. Williams.
They don't make Band-Aids for hurt feelings.
The stories. The moments. The conversation.
I fought the law and the law won.
The new midday show. 77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour of one, as we are high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided for us to do this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com. No Ebony Kardashian Williams today. She'll be back tomorrow. She's out on a book tour, and we welcome Mac Daddy of all Mac Daddies, Dominic Carter, who has played football in the past, particularly when you were in high school.
Correct, at Cardinal Hayes High School and John F. Kennedy in the Bronx. Listening to that music, it just makes me want to go, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, the New York Jets. Who is that supposed to be?
Howard Cosell.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Well, you know something? When I hear that song now...
Why are you frowning?
That's exactly the way I feel. Because I don't know what's going on with the NFL. All the Cucamonga stuff about protests, taking a knee, sitting on your tuchus, staying in the clubhouse, locking arms, holding hands. Then Odell Beckham peeing after he scored a touchdown as if he was peeing on some like a dog. And then after another touchdown, giving the Black Power salute. And I'm saying, what the hell is that image? And, you know, the NFL is all over the map. But it all really took into a tsunami-like manner after the president took to the stage in an election in which he's trying to get the incumbent elected over Judge Moore. That's not looking likely in the polls. In fact, today is the election, I believe, in Alabama.
It is. Tuesday. Special election.
Looks like Moore may actually eke out the victory, but... He veered off of the reason he was there, like sometimes he does, and decided to do improv about the many protests that have affected NFL games since Colin Kaepernick decided to take a knee.
Luther and I, and everyone in this arena tonight, are unified by the same great American values. We're proud of our country. We respect our flag. Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now. Out. He's fired. He's fired.
And that set it off, Dominic. And what was your reaction when you heard that the president decided to distract and deflect all of us from everything else going around in the world to focus on people taking knees in the NFL during the national anthem?
Mr. Sliwa, remember I bring a different perspective as a television political reporter. So I'm looking at this from a different lens. So remember what I said a few minutes ago about politics is to a certain degree very much like the Netflix show House of Cards, right? That's the name of it, House of
yes,
Cards? Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're the president of the United States, would you rather talk about the NFL, which plays to your base, rallies your base, or would you rather talk about another loss that you had because Republicans brought up health care, and yet once again you got played and McConnell does not have the votes on your side of the party? Which one would you rather talk about?
Oh, the
which
NFL.
Which one would you rather dominate the newspapers?
I might want to discuss the NFL and what they're doing there, but I don't know if I'd want to set off a raging torrent of division.
He didn't stop and think about that. So now, I have given you, as you know, I have given the president more credit than most when it is deserved. But why would you go into the heart of Alabama with a league of professional athletes, which are 70% of color, and make that type of comment? I know why he did it. It's a diversion. And it worked.
And no, he certainly has set it off. In fact, today he suggested that the NFL owners ban anybody taking a knee during the playing of the national anthem.
Now, let me say for the record, up front, if it's me, I'm standing for the national anthem, mm-hmm. if it's me, as a person of color. However, I respect the rights of these athletes that are not all black because their white teammates are in unison with them and others. I respect that they have a First Amendment right to protest should they decide to do so. I would not do that. If I was a professional athlete, I would honor the fact that I'm being paid millions to play a game, and I would stand up out of respect for the country that I greatly love and honor the national anthem. But I respect their right to disagree.
We always talk about how we have the First Amendment right of free speech, and we certainly exert that as talk radio hosts. But there are lines we can't cross, or we'll be fired.
On the spot.
Let's just say I decided to take the American flag that hangs here in the studio, and as part of a diatribe against America's indiscretions around the world, of which we've all acknowledged there have been, I decide to torch the American flag in the studio. That's my sign of protest. First Amendment says I have the right to burn an American flag. It's been tested before the United States Supreme Court. But the corporation that hires me has a right to either suspend me or fire me for that action.
Using what many of us have are moral clauses in our contract.
Right. Likewise, the NFL has certain rules and regulations. And one of them is you don't disrespect the playing of the national anthem. I don't know if they have gotten as specific as taking a knee or holding your jockstrap or whatever it is that somebody's going to do. But it's in their rules, and they have decided not to enforce their rules. So because of that, now there is a tsunami of different ways that people are protesting or showing support for the country. Like in last night's Monday Night Football action, Dallas versus the Cardinals in Arizona, Jerry Jones, who I hate, I loathe, I despise, if he were to get another facelift, his face would snap like an old rubber band.
You don't like Mr. Jones as well?
I hate the Dallas Cowboys.
I have to admit, I have a bias for him, mm-hmm. in fairness. I'm going to be candid about this. When my son, who you know has epilepsy, a learning disability, recently graduated from college, Dominic Jr., when on his 22nd birthday, the Cowboys had my son at their game in Dallas. We got ourselves out there. But the cheerleaders came up at halftime and gave him. So I'm biased towards the Cowboys.
So recuse yourself
on
this.
I'm recusing myself, but don't diss Jerry Jones.
Oh, I will every moment, especially since his very dear Kumbadi Cheech is Shamu El Jefe, Chris Christie. But anyway, so last night, Jerry Jones decided, okay, we're going to show unity. We're going to come out onto the field, the gridiron first. We're all going to take a knee. And then when we return to the sideline for the playing of the national anthem, we're all going to be standing up, locked in arms. And this is what he had to say.
As a complete team, and those players and organization want to be able to, when we can, demonstrate that unity is important and equality is important.
So what was the point of taking the knee? Nobody explained that. Because I bet you if you were to ask each of the separate Dallas Cowboys, some of them who have muscles between their ears, that they wouldn't come up with one unified message as to why they all decided to take a knee before the playing of the national anthem.
Mr. Sliwa, you know I'm a straight shooter, right? So I'm not going to disguise or camouflage. If you're the owner of the Dallas Cowboys and most of your marquee players happen to be, they look like me.
Right,
then
black.
What do you think Jerry Jones is going to do? The players are looking to you. I know the public is looking to Jerry Jones for leadership, but the players, the ones that are making you billions of dollars, the wide receiver and the quarterback, they're as black men, they're looking to you, Jerry Jones, in terms of what are you going to do about
this?
They're
looking to him for a paycheck.
That's true.
Because he could just as easily retire them or cut them.
Right, but they could just as easily slow it down on the field, not run as hard. These are things that have been done before.
No, I understand. But anyway,
receivers are like, I'm protesting and I'm not going to. They don't say it. They just slow it down.
Let's open up our phone lines. The president has tweeted out this morning that the NFL should prevent the kneeling that has taken place in many of its venues when the national anthem is being played, started by Colin Kaepernick last season. Are you agreement or disagreement with the president? 1-800-848-WABC. Then there was the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He decided his entire team would stay in the locker room before their game with the Chicago Bears. And Mike Tomlin had this to say after the game.
we're not participating in the anthem today. Not to be disrespectful to the anthem, to remove ourselves from this circumstance. People shouldn't have to choose. If a guy wants to go about his normal business and participate in the anthem, he shouldn't be forced to choose sides. If a guy feels a need to do something, he shouldn't be separated from his teammate who chooses not to. So we're not participating today.
So he decided everyone was going to stay in the clubhouse. One of his team members chose not to. His name, Alejandro Villanueva, a West Point alum who has served tours of duty as an Army Ranger in both Afghanistan and Iraq. He chose to stand outside and put his hand over his heart with the playing of the national anthem. And he got grief for that from his coach. He got grief. So today, instead of him remaining quiet and accepting the fact that his jersey is now the number one selling jersey in the NFL because people were supporting what he did, he says, every single time I see the picture of me standing by myself, I feel embarrassed. Here's a hero. Here's a guy who served. It's only like 0.4% of our country that has served in either Iraq or Afghanistan. It's not like years ago when there was a draft. So here's a guy who's being made to feel embarrassed. And then the team leader, Big Ben, the quarterback, who chose to stay in the locker room, now he's having second thoughts.
Moving forward, we will be on the field. What we do when we're out there is yet to be determined. We luckily, it's not the night before a game at 10:30 at night when we have to make a decision. I know I want to be on the field. Cam wants to be on the field. And the guys in that locker room want to be on the field. So we will plan to be on the field this week in Baltimore.
Yeah, you better get on the same page, all you guys, because you're sending out mixed messages. You know, the coach says one thing, a player says another thing.
Curtis, you mentioned that I played high school ball. Now, you know, I'm not dealing with the merits of it right now, but you know that these guys, they have to stick together as teammates. And so I respect the player's decision from the Steelers to come outside. I respect the coach's decision for the team to stay inside. But you know, you well know, Curtis, as somebody from the streets, that if the other guy doesn't block as hard for you, you can tear your ACL in 2 seconds.
I understand, but Dominic, that's why if you're not going to stand for the national anthem, just stay in the clubhouse. Nobody's going to miss you unless you happen to be a real, like, 5-point star. You know, if you're Tom Brady and you're in the clubhouse. Nobody's going to see that you're missing along the line. And then you come out, national anthem finished.
But even Brady was not happy with the president's
action. Oh, yeah, that's because his wife told him what to say, like always. He's his wife's Maytag. Anyway, let's go to Ian calling from Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Ian?
Hi, gentlemen. You know, I have just a couple of comments, if I may. It seems that no one is addressing the real fact that freedom of speech, the First Amendment, does not apply to the private sector. It does not apply to employers or employees. An employer has a standard operating procedure. If he says you have to do something, you have to do it. You cannot go into a restaurant and they serve your food and then the waiter starts gesticulating, pumping his fist, and talking politics. That's not permitted. The First Amendment applies to the government.
Well, not only that, but you saw Ian when it was tried with the permission of the CEO and founder of Starbucks, you know, when he tried to bring people together beyond the racial divide. That was a disaster there when they were putting messages on their coffee cups and then calling people and having conversations with them, the baristas. That was a complete disaster. The customer said, I don't want to be lectured about politics or culture. I'm here
exactly
for a $5 stale cup of coffee.
My point, which clearly you're agreeing with.
Okay, but Ian, hold on, because I can't just let this go. So we should ignore what they're protesting about, what these predominantly black men are protesting about, the fact of alleged police brutality. They don't have a right to say that we don't appreciate you killing black people in the street.
No. Sir Dominic, that's really not what I'm saying. You're talking about two different things. One is what the law reads. That's what the First Amendment is. Secondly, I don't think that I understand wanting to take a knee. I understand wanting to protest. I'm a product of the 60s. I understand Vietnam War, same thing. So everybody has a right to their feelings and to say what is on their mind. You can protest in different ways. Now, I was brought up to believe that if someone came to this country, they were not a citizen, they did not want to participate in saluting the flag or the national anthem, they still had to stand with respect. They did not have to put their hand over their heart or salute, but they had to show the respect.
Well, and you know, look, we see that with the Jehovah Witnesses. They don't stand, they sit. And it struck me odd the first time I saw that at a ball game. And my father said, they're Jehovah Witnesses. You know, their religion doesn't permit them to do that. So I accepted that. But if you don't want to stand for the anthem, stay in the clubhouse. Do us a solid. You know, put more tape on, take more steroids, you know, get jacked up for the game. Do all the things you do, you know, with your DEPs. 1-800-848-WABC.
Curtis and Ebony. The stories, the moments, the new midday show.
Up on the line, the law one.
77 WABC and the WABC radio app.
Ebony K. Williams out today. She's out there selling her book. She'll be back with us tomorrow. And the Mac Daddy is in the house. Dominic Carter, let's go to Emmanuel calling from New Jersey. Welcome to WABC, Emmanuel.
Hey, Curtis. Hi, Dominic. How you doing?
Hi, Emmanuel.
I just want to make a point about the whole Colin Kaepernick protest. You know, I don't think that it's getting to the root cause of the issues. And, you know, I think it would better serve him and people of his, you know, with that type of platform to go and try and protest in the middle of a housing project, you know, in inner city and protest against the gangs and the drug dealers and all the violence that occurs. Right. You know, and bring the cameras and bring the crew and bring the attention to it, because then that's probably a good place to start.
Yeah. But you see, Emmanuel, that requires diligence and a long term focus, of which these NFL players, they have the minds in many instances of a tsetse fly. You know, they jump from one subject to another subject. If you look at Chicago,
I think the cops is an easy target. It's an easy target.
Oh yeah, you know, but if you look at Chicago over the weekend, 40 people shot by other people of color, almost all black on black crime. You're not going to hear one Chicago Bear talking anything about that, or what are we going to do? We're going into the hood.
Right.
We're going to actually try to rally up young people and get them to put down their drugs,
and
guns.
Bring the attention to it.
Emmanuel's, you know, right. He's 1,000% correct.
Right, but you see, that's a tough problem to deal with. Even the former president, Barack Obama, and his wife, as many trips as they took to Chicago, as many forums as they conducted about the violence, notice, nothing's happened.
Covers it. But no one covers it like they're covering it now. I mean, I can't turn on Nick Jr. without, you know, seeing anything about it.
Yeah, this is the great point that Emmanuel makes. If Colin Kaepernick announces, you know, I'm from the Patterson houses in the Bronx.
Sure.
Throgs Neck houses. If he announced that he's going to hold a 3 p.m. news conference today in the Throgs Neck houses, there will be at least 50 to 60 television cameras.
Absolutely. And remember, when he took his knee, his jersey, his San Francisco 49er jersey, immediately became a number one seller. Like Michael Vick. Remember when Michael Vick was found that he was killing dogs, you know, as he was training them for dog fights? His Vick was his jersey was the most requested jersey. You know, both when he played for the Atlanta Falcons and then for the Philadelphia Eagles. So you say to yourself, and now all of a sudden the number one jersey is of the Patriot, Villanueva, who as an Army Ranger, graduate of West Point, player for the Pittsburgh Steelers, did tours of duty in Iraq and in Afghanistan. So, you know, you go from the good to the bad to the ugly. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's quickly go to Dave calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Dave?
Yeah, he thinks we should dance for our money that they deserve. I mean, we got to kiss their butt. They doing this because of the police action. And y'all made it go bigger. Y'all made it go bigger than it is. It could have faded away, but y'all made it bigger than it is.
Well, Dave, the president was switching gears to get away. Listen, if Page One News was not the NFL, it would be the disaster over health care. So the same way I said to Curtis, I say to you, if you're the president of the United States, you'd rather have the NFL on page one than the disaster over health care, which points to bad leadership.
He will probably lose the primary race tonight in Alabama. Judge Moore will probably beat his designated candidate that he went to a campaign for on Friday, that he decided to start doing improv on the NFL.
As we're heading into the midterm elections. Don't forget that. and which traditionally midterm elections do not fare well for the party in office at the White House.
Anyway, this moment, let's get our news headlines and updates from Ken Duffy.
Bring the noise!
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader,
attorney, radio talk show host, Fox News contributor Ebony Williams.
On this side of the law.
Both sides have extremists.
On that side of the law.
To the millions, I feel this is problematic.
Turn it up!
Every story in the city matters. Every moment of the day matters. Every conversation matters. Curtis and Ebony. Curtis Sliwa.
Now, putting aside the politics.
And Ebony K. Williams.
They don't make Band-Aids for hurt feelings.
The stories. The stories. The moments. The conversation.
I fought the law and the law won.
The new Midday Show. 77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour or two, as we are high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us to do this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com. The island of Puerto Rico, the Commonwealth, is completely devastated. And I was devastated last night when I saw after, 17 or 21 tweets that the president of Twitter of the United States, Donald Trump, sent out about NFL football and what should be the policy and shouldn't be. Enough of that crap. But the people in Puerto Rico are in desperate need of our help. And to see yesterday that the president took to Twitter to note that the U.S. territory is in deep trouble and billions of dollars in debt to Wall Street. I said, what kind of a message is that? At a time in which they're underwater, they don't have electricity, they don't have water, they don't have food. These are Americans. There's no difference between Americans here on the mainland and those in Puerto Rico. They are birthed Americans.
Well, let me just say this in the president's defense. You're bringing up very valid issues. Entertainer, singer Mark Anthony, I believe is his name. He agrees with you strongly, but he used more colorful language to tell the president to stop talking about the NFL and focus on Puerto Rico.
And
but the president just, Curtis, this is important. The president just announced.
Oh, we're going to play.
We're going to
play what he said.
Okay.
But then he compounded the problem. He tweeted about the island's terrible electrical grid as millions there are living without power in the wake of the storms. And then he compared them to Texas and Florida. Texas and Florida are doing great, but Puerto Rico, which was already suffering from broken infrastructure and massive debt, is in deep trouble. Did he really need to make comparisons between what can be looked at politically as two red states that voted for him, Florida and Texas? And I would dare say all the electricity is not back in place in Florida, as the president would suggest, but that it's like you're piling on a Puerto Rico.
Sometimes a president can be tone deaf, as all presidents can.
But tone deaf?
And he'll be there Tuesday.
We give aid to Kabul in Afghanistan, where
Correct.
They take our money.
Correct.
Where these thieves that we have been fighting America's longest war in play both sides with the Taliban, FTSE, and us, depending on who gives them more money. They steal our money. We give them billions. In Iraq, one of the most corrupt countries in the world, in Baghdad, we give them billions, and they steal so much of it that never gets to the people in need. And we're hesitating to help the people in Puerto Rico who are Americans who have fought in wars. On my first visit to organize the Guardian Angels in Puerto Rico, my host stopped right as we were leaving the airport. And he showed me the hillside. There's a U.S. military cemetery there, and you see all the single, solitary slabs.
So you were in the hillside. Because, see, most of us go to Old San Juan, myself.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful, and the cobblestone ground and so on.
Oh, yeah, I was
the
there,
The tourist
too.
Area.
Right.
But crazy, excuse me, Mr. Sliwa goes to the hillside? Is that what you're telling
and
me?
Oh, yeah, and to what you would call colonias or favelas, the really poor areas.
Okay, I want you to continue your account of this, but
right.
just answer this for me.
Yes.
Why do you go to the worst neighborhoods in the world?
Because that's where we get invited to. Do you think we get invited to the best neighborhoods as Guardian Angels? And I'll explain what we're doing in Puerto Rico. But when the island of Haiti had its earthquake, devastating, I was there. We did everything we could. We sent our military, as we should have.
You went to the bad neighborhoods of Haiti?
Oh, yeah, of which there are many. But the point being is we had boots on the ground and we were giving them aid. And then all the nonprofits showed up, and where those billions have gone from the Clinton Foundation and all the rest, I'd like to know. But the point is we responded as we should have. These are not Americans. These are Haitians. We did likewise in a number of natural emergencies throughout Central America and through the rest of the West Indies and the Caribbean. And I'm proud as an American that we did that. But the fact that we would not have a full, all-out effort for Puerto Ricans, and yes, Americans in the U.S. Virgin Islands, I've been there too, and that place just wiped off the map, devastated, is appalling to me. And the fact that the president would send out these tweets last night reminding us of the problems that Puerto Rico has. Yeah, they have problems. There's no doubt about it. We had problems when we were on the bank of fiscal Chapter 11 back in the early 70s, remember? And remember that headline, Gerald Ford dropped dead, and we had to pull it all back? Imagine if we got hit by a hurricane or some sort of natural disaster at that point, if Gerald Ford said, sorry, you're on the verge of Chapter 11, New York. You're the economic engine for the world, but tough noogies, fend for yourself. And then today, the president, while meeting, I believe, with the Spanish president, I'm not quite sure, decided to amend what he said on, well, what he tweeted out last night, which was completely insensitive. And this is what he said.
The island is devastated. It's, I mean, some people say, I read this morning, it's literally destroyed. The infrastructure was in bad shape, as you know, in Puerto Rico before the storm. And now, in many cases, it has no infrastructure. So it's, you're really starting from almost scratch.
And then he followed up.
These are great people. They're wonderful people. They're hardy people. They'll be back. But we're helping them. I think we're really getting really good marks for the work we're doing.
No, you're not. No, you're not. I'm sorry. When Nancy Pelosi, the weak one, has to say we should have our military in Puerto Rico, you're not getting good marks from me, Mr. President. When we have an island that has sacrificed so many men in battle over the years who have served in Afghanistan and Iraq, served and died in Vietnam, served in Korea, served in World War II, served as American citizens and did so proudly. I've been with a number of Puerto Rican families who can't wait to have their sons or daughters sign up for the United States military. And I'm talking about when I'm on Puerto Rico, on the island,
well,
and people are living there.
Look at what your boy Andrew Cuomo, Governor Cuomo, did.
To his credit.
To his credit. Wait, you're giving Cuomo credit?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
Because
and you're not calling them evil eyes?
No, because our president has ignored Puerto Rico, as far as I am concerned.
Okay. No,
I
agree
the Virgin
with you on that. I agree, but he just announced, the same press conference you just played, that he's going on Tuesday, he's going to Puerto Rico and to the Virgin Islands. Both have
about
been
time.
Devastated.
Knock off the NFL crap and start focusing on what the leader of our nation should be doing. You did it in Texas, and you did it in Florida. Start doing it for Puerto Rico and start doing it for the Virgin Islands, because they're just as American as any one of us. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Now, some warnings, because I have boots on the ground in Puerto Rico in both San Juan and Ponce now. When you are donating supplies, of which there are a lot of generous people in our tri-state area who are doing that specifically for Puerto Rican relief, be careful. What happens is your supplies, the Pampers, the water, the needed products, the batteries, everything that's a necessity there right now, sometimes gets put into cargo containers in the belly of ships. And instead of making its way to the PR, makes its way to the DR, Dominican Republic, or countries in Central America, and then gets sold on the black market. So we've always had a policy whenever we've helped in doing rescue and recovery. And if you've looked at the Curtis and Ebony Facebook page, you can see we're knee deep in digging through the rubble in Mexico City. We're in Puerto Rico. We're in Florida. We're in Texas. Is you must accompany the supplies wherever possible, from point of purchase or reception. If you're on a plane or you're getting there by other means, you got to be with the supplies. And then you got to be there to give out your supplies because you may end up doing a very good thing, but the supplies don't get to where they were supposedly designated to go.
But most people can't do that.
No,
so what's your recommendation in that case?
Well, because there are many nonprofits, make sure, find out from the nonprofit that you're donating either money or supplies to, how they're getting to the areas in need. And if necessary, just go to the Guardian Angel website and we'll certainly help to direct you, if not just our effort to other people's efforts, go to guardianangels.org. Secondly, within the heartland of Puerto Rico, remember, it's only like close to 4 million people. They have a huge crime rate there, very violent crime rate, which surpasses most areas in America, and they're on par with like Chicago, the murder rate. There are gangs roaming around some of these municipalities, the smaller cities. They've taken over the cities. They're looting. They're taking everyone's food. Law enforcement won't come out. They won't patrol those areas. They've ceded the cities to these gangs. Those are some of the communities that we as Guardian Angels are going to focus on.
Do you know
that's
how
where
far,
the military should be?
You mentioned military. So we all think, those of us that are familiar, we all think of the military base, or it used to be military base in Vieques.
Yes.
And you mentioned Ponce. How far are the two apart?
Well, not that far, because the island is not that large.
And how far
but
outside
the problem
of Old
is,
San Juan?
Right. The problem is from San Juan to Ponce is you have all this debris in the roads. Some of the roads have been washed out. They're unusable. So transportation is extraordinarily difficult by normal means. And then there's the problem of gas. You might have a vehicle, an SUV, but you can't get gas. And water is in short supply. There are going to be people,
everything is in short supply.
There are going to be people shot and killed about water. People come off of flights coming into Puerto Rico, relief workers. And right away, people waiting to leave, who've been waiting for days, they're in desperate need of water.
Well, there are reports that people over supplies getting out to the countryside don't want to try and make the delivery unless they have a police escort.
That's right.
So you're correct.
That's right. And that's the story that's not being told. The president needs to get his rear in gear and understand if we could help Haiti after the devastating earthquake there, which we should have, and support the tyrannical dictators and pocket pickers of the taxpayers in Iraq and Afghanistan who would never acknowledge all we've done for them. Never. Have they had a parade in honor of Americans who have died in either country? But there are parades in Puerto Rico each year on Memorial Day for the sacrifices made by Puerto Ricans in all of our wars. And they continue to serve proudly and honorably in Iraq and Afghanistan and other ports of call. In fact, if you look at the rate of signups of young men and young women on the island of Puerto Rico per capita per person, it is huge. It's like down south, how the south is. Because if we had to depend on the northeast, forget about it. Our military would not be what it is. Let's go, if we can, to I believe it's Jimmy calling from Rockland County. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Jimmy.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in Dominic's. Does he ever criticize Trump? It seems like he was in awe that somebody would call down Trump.
Jimmy,
the man does not care about anything or anybody except his own self.
Jimmy, I started out today by pointing out the president's entire NFL stance is nothing but a smokescreen so that the media doesn't focus on the healthcare debacle. So that's criticism right there.
We're talking about Puerto Rico.
Okay.
We're not talking about the healthcare.
Okay.
People are going to be dying there.
Jimmy, I am not in the president's pocket. Trust me when I tell you. Just like I wasn't in Obama's pocket or Clinton's pocket or Bush's pocket. When they need to be called out, I will call them out. Period.
Let's go to Matt in New York. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Matt?
Hi, guys. I think that the response to Puerto Rico by the president was definitely muted. It is effectively the 51st state. I know that they recently voted on a referendum to make themselves a 51st state, but while it passed, there wasn't enough people that voted for it. But I think that this is an issue that's got to be dealt with. I think we should have had ships down there loaded up with bucket trucks and tents and water and God knows what. We should have been down there a lot more quicker than what we have. And actually, I am a Trump supporter, but I think he's got to get his head out of his ass, frankly, and deal with these things head on, roll up his sleeves like you would a CEO, and stay away. I don't really care, frankly, if he upsets his base. Who really gives a crap? If you don't win 4 years from now, too bad. But as long as you could say, I did what I needed to do to help people, that's the most important thing.
Oh, and not only that, Matt, when you consider we do it all over the world for people who are ungrateful, ungrateful to us, who won't even acknowledge the blood that we've shed for them.
You know, absolutely. I mean, you know, let's say, for instance, we send $5 billion down to African nations, okay? We send money to the Middle East. We send it all over the place. Hey, you know what? If you, A, got to cut back some of that money to help your own community,
yep.
to help your own community,
yep.
that's number one. Number two, the Internet is a big thing. It's destroying the retail end of the world. So you know what I would do if I was the President of the United States? I'd put a 5% tax on all goods and services, non-food, to raise $25 or $30 billion a year and use those resources to funnel the money back at the communities that could use the help.
Oh, and look, the idea that everything is great in Texas, Louisiana, and Florida, the president is disconnected. Things are going good in terms of the rescue, recovery, repair, and maintenance. But to say great, and then to completely ignore Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, completely ignore it.
There's no excuse for what this administration has done as it relates to Puerto Rico. So, again, the good news, the silver lining, the president, even though it draws enormous resources when the president appears somewhere, but he just announced Tuesday again he'll be in Puerto Rico,
you know,
and the Virgin Islands.
If he doesn't get his rear in gear on Puerto Rico especially, that SOB should be put back into the private sector the next time he tries to go for 4 years, right? You want to use that SOB term? You
would
be an SOB if you don't use every ability we have as a federal government to help the people on the island of Puerto Rico like we help the thieves in Afghanistan and the thieves in Iraq.
I think Jimmy said that I don't criticize Trump. Well, the fact of the matter is he's already looking like a one-term president.
1-800-848-WABC.
Curtis and Ebony. The stories, the moments. The new midday show.
Up the line, allow one.
77 WABC and the WABC radio app.
Can't believe this. The president, while holding a press conference with the president of Spain at the White House, just said Puerto Rico is so thankful for the job we're doing. Is he that disconnected?
Well, there's even more bad news for this president. It has just moved that the latest effort to repeal Obamacare, McConnell was not even going to bring it to a vote.
Of course.
So that's another embarrassment.
Dead on arrival.
Dead on arrival. It was dead on arrival when it was first proposed. So it makes me wonder. I know we're talking about Puerto Rico, but to be honest with you, it makes me wonder if McConnell, Lindsey Graham, and the senator from Arizona, John McCain, if they set the president up. Because they had to know the votes were not there for this to embarrass the president.
I really believe that.
I'm not into conspiracy theories. But I know that Graham proposed this.
Yes.
But think about it. They knew in advance that they did not have the votes. So why go forward with it?
Interesting. An act of sabotage.
Yes.
Let's go to Gary in Connecticut. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Gary.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. How's everybody doing?
Hi, Gary.
I've had better days.
So, I kind of disagree. I don't feel as though that just the United States should go running down and help Puerto Rico. The country, I mean, look at the state of affairs that they were in before the storm. I mean, you have the crime levels, the gangs, the infrastructure, which is failing. The place is wiped out now. And America needs to run down there and rebuild it? No. We need to unify with a bunch of different countries that are in wealthy countries and all.
Gary, Puerto Rico is part of the United States. It is not a separate entity. They are American citizens. They have fought and died in wars at a great percentage of their per capita population. Are you aware of that, Gary?
Yes, I am totally aware of that.
All right. So now let me give you a comparison. Illinois, the state of Illinois, its largest city, Chicago, murder capital of America, is on the brink of Chapter 11, fiscal insolvency, as is the city of Chicago. So we shouldn't help Chicago or Illinois because it's crime-ridden and because of the corruption that has caused them to be on the brink of fiscal collapse.
No. No, you're right. But my point that I'm trying to make is you guys are really stressing it's all about Trump and America. The point I'm trying to make is where are the other countries? Where are our other allies?
I don't want any other countries involved in helping Puerto Rico. This is our situation. These are our people. It's not like it's Haiti after the devastation of their earthquake or another independent autonomous country. It is America. They are Americans.
Curtis, to piggyback
on your
point.
We take care of our own.
To piggyback on your point, I'm looking at Twitter right now. My buddy Sal Morrow just posted, and this is so on point, and it agrees with what you said. I'm quoting here. The problem with Puerto Rico and the United States Virgin Islands is that they are out of sight, out of mind. Too many people don't realize that they are Americans.
Except when they like to go on vacation.
Of course.
And many people have gone back and forth to San Juan and to other parts of the island. So please, there are so many Americans who have no idea that Puerto Ricans who were born and raised on the island of the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, who just voted for statehood, and I'm in favor of that, are not Americans. They really think they're not Americans. My God. When we can, if we can't even help our own, are we going to help those thieves in Baghdad and continue to help those thieves, those money-grubbing thieves in Kabul and Afghanistan, which had just as soon shoot Americans in the back as Taliban as take our money?
For your midday,
Ebony Williams is here.
Curtis and Ebony, exclusively.
Bring the noise!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
You know I smoked a lot of grass. Oh, Lord, I popped a lot of pills.
239 to the tune of Steppenwolf, the Pusher Man. It's Dominic Carter in the house today. Ebony K. Williams out. She's promoting her book. She'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. But, Dominic, this is the problem. We've discussed on a number of your appearances about how opioid addiction is at record highs. People to replace popping oxycodone, hillbilly heroin, Percocet, and other painkillers have opted for cheap heroin that they can either sniff, snort, shoot up, or smoke. And then naturally there's the new Jack product on the market, normally used to cut the heroin, fentanyl, but sometimes it's being just sold as a painkiller. There are people who legitimately use fentanyl when it's prescribed by doctors because it is a great painkiller. But there are others who abuse it and others who have died from ODing on it. But the question is, since we've gone through this in the 60s and 70s, what do you tell your kids? For instance, what do you tell your kids in order to avoid them from being pill heads, pill poppers, or starting to dabble with heroin? Or even accelerating and starting to dabble with fentanyl. What do you possibly tell them, ladies and gentlemen? And is it just the old tried and true Nancy Reagan, just say no? Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
You better tell them, having covered this for a couple of years now, you better tell them the absolute truth. That you can, because like us, most of these kids are naive. They think they have the answers, but they don't. And you better share with your children that they will quickly be in over their head. It starts out in many cases that I've covered where the kids are using the drugs for quote recreational reasons, thinking they can handle them, or they spike the punch and whatever the case may be. And they quickly find themselves with a dependency. And a dependency that they cannot handle. When you see, you call Christie names and so on, but when you see the commercials that he's recording as President Trump's czar on this issue, and in places like Vermont, these kids from all types of communities, this does not discriminate, quickly find themselves in over their head, one problem to the next, and then they're dead. So you cannot sugarcoat this with this epidemic. You better tell your kids the truth up front, because in a matter of 1 to 2 years, they can be dead, start to finish.
Well, I'm telling you, Dominic Carter, you mentioned the commercials that are being played ad nauseum featuring Shamu El Jefe, Chris Christie. talking about how you need rehab if you have a drug problem and that New Jersey is there to provide that for you. I think the commercials do a disservice. They have next to him now a young lady who looks like she could be part of the Partridge Family. Although in her initial ad, she talks about how she got down and dirty.
Wait, why shouldn't she be there? That's exactly
type
of kid that should be there.
I'll explain it. I'd rather not have Christy there. But because she is looking so good now, she's obviously rehabbed, she's healthy, I think you have to show the before and the after. She talks about, you know, I was prostituting myself, I was out in the streets, I was looking for my next fix.
Curtis, what I know you know more than 99.9. What do you think happens to these good girls from good communities when they're turned out on these drugs and the dependency?
I completely know.
The only way they can come up with money is prostitution.
Right, but you see, there are probably pictures of her when she was down and dirty and down and out. So instead of this picture of somebody who is completely rehabbed, is, you know, functioning in a normal lifestyle, looks very healthy, beautiful young lady, there should be juxtapositions next to it, the pictures of what she looked like when she was really strung out. And she probably was frail, looked skeletal, you know, had the hollow cheeks, looked dark and dingy because she wasn't bathing herself, you know, all of those typical things. And let kids see this, because without seeing that, it's hard for them to imagine how bad things can get, end up crawling into the belly of the beast.
You make a good point. But I think these kids also need to know that, hey, this happened to her. She looks just like you. See, I don't think the kids, they think they're invincible. I don't think they get it of how fast you can go downhill on this. I mean, it's really scary. So I support what's being done. And politicians are going to be politicians.
Can we agree, though?
So they're going to be on the air.
Enough of Shamu, El Jefe, Chris Christie in these commercials. I don't need to see Walrus Face again talking about drugs rehab.
That's not nice.
Anyway, let's go to Vinny, who I believe is calling from Matza Pizza, a.k.a. Massapequa, Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC, Vincenzo.
Dominic, how are you guys doing? I wonder who the boss is there. Curtis, are you the boss or Dominic the boss? I can't figure this one out yet. Anyway.
Wait, I missed that. I missed that. Say that again. I missed that, Vinny.
Who's the boss there? Dominic or who is
Curtis is the boss, but go ahead.
Okay. I'm a recovering alcoholic addict, you know. And I have two grown kids that are very successful. One's a Marine. My boy's a Marine now. We're going to see him out in California. My daughter's up in Oswego. She's a business analyst. And I told them at a very young age, I said, if you want to lose your friends, you want to have a miserable life, you want to destroy your life, or do you want to die, go ahead and use drugs. Go ahead and use heroin.
And Vinny, you know, I agree with you 1,000%.
And they were young. I told them at a young age.
Did you use your own personal experience? Did you tell them as their father, I was strung out, I was down and out?
Yes. Yes, I told them the whole story.
And how did they react to hearing that you had...
They were taken back, but they reacted well, you know, and they saw through my behavior, you know. You know what I mean? So, you know, and they actually learned from that, you know. And now I go to AA, you know, and I love going to AA. It's a great thing, and I love being in recovery, and it's a wonderful, great new life that I have today.
Well, keep it up, Vincenzo. Keep it up. Let's go to John, 1-800-848-WABC from Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic here, Johnny.
Curtis, Dominic, you know, I had a conversation with you when we started to talk about heroin when you had the show when, what's his name, left, Geraldo, and we were talking about that since maybe a year and a half ago. There's a lot of kids 6 feet under, boys and girls.
Yes.
So if the Shamu wants to show up, let him show up and talk what he has to. Bring it out, because if you don't, you know what, there's going to be a lot more kids dead.
No doubt about it. My daughter is 28 years old, mother, a television reporter up in Syracuse. One of the things that scares me, even though she's basically above that age, but it scares me that she could be at a party and have a drink socially, and the kids may have some type of pills in the punch, and this could start an episode. It could happen to anyone. Anyone.
The good part is... that, you know what, even the people who are elite or not elite, their kids go right under too. But the bottom line is, if you don't talk about this, I mean, you know what, we want to legalize pot. If you want to legalize pot, what's the difference of them saying one day, you know what, heroin should be available? They got that in answers. stand. They got it in the counter. They got shooting joints.
Well, it's a big, John, it's a big difference. I was just in criminal court yesterday to deal with my arrest by Comrade de Blasio for trying to serve him papers as the New York State Reform Party chairman. Do you know every case that was called before me was somebody who had been busted for possession of marijuana? And these were clean-cut, working-class people who had to leave their job that day in order to make their court appearance, or a warrant would have been issued for their arrest. And after, like, the fifth or sixth case was called, everybody was, like, turning their heads and saying, what the hell are we doing here with all these arrests for marijuana? If they're decriminalizing it, if, in fact, it's being allowed as a recreational drug in so many states, why are we busting people who are obviously functional and get caught carrying marijuana? After a while, you say, what are we doing here? And it's not the equivalent of heroin or any of these other more dangerous drugs. I take oxycodone, hillbilly heroin. I've used marijuana. It is no comparison.
I understand your point, but I disagree. I feel that marijuana is a gateway drug. And the second issue becomes, what in the world is it laced with? I've seen kids that have lost their minds after using marijuana.
Yeah, but most people who use marijuana are not going on to other drugs.
And let's face
it. It's like a beer drinker. They stick to drinking beer, not hard liquor.
But Curtis, let's face it. I know you've seen several people that use marijuana. They lose a step or two. I'm not saying all, but they lose a step or two mentally. And they may not see it, but most of us do.
You know, you might have said that from the days of people smoking ragweed, but with the different strains that they have now.
What's ragweed?
Ragweed was that marijuana that everybody smoked back in our day that stunk up the joint. You could smell it like half a mile away.
Mm.
That
you wanted.
Never smoked it. The most dangerous drug in the world because it is an entry-level drug.
You are an asshole, Michael Savage.
Whoa.
Pure and simple. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. Doctor this.
Whoa.
He's a doctor of nutrition, right?
Why are you using your hand to point to... What are you doing?
He's so cool. He makes people
does
call
he
him
really,
doctor.
Does he really annoy you that much?
Oh, absolutely. Because he puts out such propaganda, such nonsense.
And I'm glad the audience can't see what your hand gesture just was.
Yeah, it was a guy who was hanging out with hippies half of his life. I don't want to go into the details, Dr. Savage, because it may not reflect well on you.
What is wrong with you?
Let's go to Ben, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Ben?
Curtis, I don't know if you might be the smartest man in the world. I just love everything you're saying so much today. And Lionel, I'm so disappointed with you for your comments on marijuana. I really thought.
Wait, do you mean Lionel or you mean Dominic?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm used to the other. Yeah,
I think we look different. I think we look a little different.
Oh, hell yes.
You really think a gateway drug, marijuana is a gateway drug? How about
I do. I do. You know why? You know why? I'm not just standing up here talking. My grandfather, for many years of his life, was a heroin addict. This is real to me. And I mean a heroin addict in the most ways, in terms of stealing from his family and doing all the things that addicts do. I'm proud of my grandfather because when he died, he left this earth clean. But this is no joke. And I believe with all my heart, I know Curtis disagrees, with all my heart, marijuana is a gateway drug.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Brent, who's calling from Manorville. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Brent?
Hey, Curtis and Dominic. I was just calling to kind of agree with Dominic about the gateway drug thing about marijuana, but also to strongly disagree with him because it's only a gateway because of where you have to go to get it. Like, think about marijuana. I started smoking in middle school. Because I could get it. I couldn't drink until I was 21, though, because that was legal, and I had to go to a certain place with a license to get it. So if you legalize marijuana and it's regulated and everything, the most people are going to be picking up along with the marijuana is candy and chips.
you know. But if
having grown up in the projects of New York City, Brent, I'm not too sure about that. I've seen kids in emergency rooms where they've lost their minds from smoke, believe it or not, from smoking marijuana. But more importantly, I've seen situations where people start smoking marijuana, quickly moves to cocaine, quickly moves to heroin.
Right, but there are far many more marijuana users who never take it to the next level.
This is true. This is true.
So do you penalize them because some others are going to dabble with other drugs?
Hey, we're out of time. I love you, man.
Don't use that term with me.